So good morning, and welcome to our Dharma practice day. And these Dharma practice days are meant to explore the Dharma or the practice in a variety of different ways. And different days, they're different. Sometimes it's a lot of meditation, sometimes a lot of discussion, sometimes teachings, a variety of things, depending on the topic and everything. And the theme for today is called the Seven Factors of Awakening. And it's part of a particular discourse that the Buddha gave, one of the discourses that probably gave the clearest instructions the Buddha gave on meditation practice. And so if you want to know what the Buddha had to say about meditation, you'd read the Satipatthana Sutta. And there's a whole series of instructions there of how to do meditation practice, and starting with breath meditation and being centered on the body and a variety of things. And so over this last year, we've kind of gone over much of that, those exercises, that approach to meditation. And then today, we come to almost the penultimate. Is that right? Wait, is it penultimate? The second to last kind of approach of meditation, which is that of the seven factors of awakening. And one of the ways of understanding them, this discourse, this instructions the Buddha gave on mindfulness, is that usually when people relate to their life, we do it not neutrally, in an unbiased way, but we usually have a bias, or we have a framework or an understanding, a view through which we see or experience our life. And so if you're you know, if you're 16 and mostly you're interested in sex, then you orient yourself towards life around that particular framework, perhaps much of the time. Or if you're interested in money, then you're kind of always looking at how this relates to my acquiring money or keeping it, and that's kind of like the frame that you're looking at. Or if your frame might be safety. And some people may be traumatized, and so they're always looking at things through the framework of how can I be safe here? Or there's through the framework of some sense of self. This is who I am, and this is how my self-image needs to be or something. And so how does this support, how does this enhance, how does this threaten my sense of self in any situation? So that's a framework that we look at the situation. And so the idea is that it's very seldom that we're actually present in a neutral way and just present for how things are. The Buddha recommended that there were certain frameworks that are helpful and useful if you're interested in liberation, full awakening. And one of the and so there's just seven, the four foundations of mindfulness that we've been talking about over the year is offering a variety of frames of reference to help us kind of orient ourselves, understand what's important in the present moment, what we need to look at. So the frame of reference of our breath, looking at our experience from the point of view of our breath, breathing in the middle of our life, and what happens to our breathing, what goes on with our breathing, working with our breath. That's much more important than focusing on our finances, for example, if you want to attain liberation. So also our body, tremendous emphasis on mindfulness of the body. And so to constantly come back and use the body as a reference point for our experience, rather than our self-image, our inner sense of the body, not the self-image of our body. And to use a reference point of the feeling tone of our experience, the immediacy of the feeling tone. To use the reference point of our mental states. And for today, the reference point is that of the seven factors of awakening. And these are the wholesome qualities of mind, the helpful qualities of mind that get developed as people do Buddhist practice, and which are intentionally cultivated and encouraged and enhanced as we practice. And so you can, in a sense, these are the kind of the mental qualities that need to be in place to let a person have the foundation for awakening and freedom. So these seven factors are these are all qualities of our own mind, our own hearts. They're all qualities that available to all of us, and some of us have them to small degrees, maybe present for ourselves. And as we practice, the idea is to let these become stronger, to become strengths within us, more prevalent, pervasive experience in our lives. And so in order for them to get stronger and become more readily available, first we have to be able to recognize them, and we have to be able to value them, and value them enough that they become a frame of reference, they become a reference point for understanding our experience. So when you go into some situation, you can ask yourself, are these present? How are they present? Can I cultivate them? Can I tap into them? Can I evoke them? So rather than again looking at the experiences, what will this do for my self-image? What will this do for my reputation? Will people like me or not? That's off. You know, put those things aside and look at how does this relate to the cultivation of these beautiful qualities in myself. So these seven qualities are: first is mindfulness. The second is, for now we'll call it investigation, investigatory mind. The third is energy or effort. The fourth is joy. The fifth is tranquility. The sixth is concentration. And the seventh is equanimity. Those are seven factors of awakening. In the teachings of the Buddha, these seven factors are extremely important. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to introduce you to these seven factors of awakening in the form of basically guided meditations. And so the day will be made up of meditating. Kind of the idea is more or less 45 minutes of meditation and 15 minutes for walking, for going to the bathroom, whatever else you need to do, and then coming back and doing another 45 minutes or so of meditation. And we'll just do that through the day. And we'll take 45 minutes for lunch, so shorter than usual. I hope that people have lunch with you. If you don't, then maybe there's some place you can get a quick bite nearby. And the encouragement at lunchtime will be that you eat a light lunch, because we're going to continue this practice right into the afternoon, and we don't want you to be kind of really lethargic, meaning, you know, having overeaten at lunchtime. And it's better to be kind of eat lightly and have more energy, be kind of more alert. So as we go through the day, we'll go progressively through these seven factors of awakening. So hopefully by the end of the day, you have some experiential sense in your own experience, your own life, your own mind and heart, your own body, of these seven factors. That's the plan. How does that sound? So we'll keep the day, except for my talking, we'll keep the day in silence. Lunch in silence, we just keep in silence and engage in this practice, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Is this going to be recorded and put on audio?
Yeah, Bruce is recording it. Okay. So we'll begin. So take a comfortable, alert posture. And perhaps the operating word is alert. Sit up straight. And use your posture, in your posture, to begin cultivating a sense of presence in your body. Sense of being here. If you've ever experienced someone who was really present for you, you really felt that their attention, kind of their eyes or their attention, but their whole being was kind of really there, alert, present, engaged with you. So in the same way, take a few moments to enter your posture, your body, and see if you can find a sense of presence, being present in this body. And a huge part of what mindfulness is presence. A presence of mind, a presence of attention. A presence of attention that we can apply to our breath or our body or different things. So we need to somehow find this presence of mind, presence of attention. So to help with this, it might be useful to take some long, slow, deep breaths. Really let the, feel the, almost like the breath or the movements of breathing fills your body as you breathe in. Almost like the air or the breath is maybe something clear and refreshing. It's going to refresh, move through your body and refresh your whole body. And as you exhale, you can allow whatever concerns, worries, anxieties, preoccupations you have, whatever negative feelings you might have, let them kind of just kind of flow out with the breath. Breathe in refreshingly, and then breathe out whatever is there that might be standing in the way, getting in the way of being here and now. Breathing in deeply, and then as you exhale, softening your body, letting your belly be relaxed, your chest, perhaps a softening of the shoulder blade area. And then let your breath return to normal. And here you are, here. There's something phenomenally precious and important about here, where you happen to be. Having a sense of presence or attentiveness always involves here. And as a synonym for mindfulness, presence is nice because it's something embodied. It's not a mental knowing in and of itself, but a kind of a physical knowing. As you breathe in, notice how the body experiences breathing in. Notice how the body experiences breathing out. notice how the experience of breathing in is different than the experience of breathing out. And in being mindful, there's a choice that's being made. Deliberateness to being present, being engaged with attention, with awareness, with presence, here, in this time and place. So with mindfulness, there's presence, sense of being present for the breath, presence from the inside of the experience. It doesn't matter how you're breathing, just a sense of presence for how it is. And there's also a very simple knowing that goes along with that presence. It can be as simple as knowing that you're breathing in, knowing you're breathing out. It can be very simple knowing that the mind wants to drift off into thoughts or other concerns. Can be a very simple knowing of feelings, emotions that might be making it might be helpful or hinder your ability to be present for the breath. And whatever you know, can you also meet it with a presence? Being really present for it in an embodied way, clear way, relaxed way. If there are ways you feel uncomfortable, notice the knowing of that. Let there be a knowing of that. Very simple mindfulness. Knowing that's not for or against. And then coming back always to the breath within the breath that's just the breath, with a sense of presence, embodied presence for the breathing, the very simple knowing, knowing that you know, knowing you're present, knowing that you're engaged, knowing that this is breathing in, this is breathing out. If the mind wanders off, before coming back to the breath, Come back to a knowing, knowingness, a presence. Knowing this is a thinking mind. This is wandering off. This is being present for that. Another way of talking about mindfulness is talking about attending to something. Our presence, our attention attends to the breath, attends to breathing in, to breathing out. You can also attend to the judgments you might be having, or expectations, and how it's going. A wonderful quality of attending, almost like compassion, attending to your experience, but not caught by it, not being for or against it. And with the foundation of presence, mindfulness, knowing, you can use that knowing to look more closely, to investigate, almost with the question, what is this? Really look carefully. So you can look at the breath. Not just simply be present for it, but add to that presence a discerning awareness that discerns, sees. The sensations that go with breathing. Here there's expansion, movement, pressure, tautness, warmth, coolness. And then there could be a contraction, a letting go, a lightening. There can be an investigation into what parts of the body move in relationship to your breathing. And really knowing the quality of those movements, the texture of those movements. Not thinking about the breath, but almost like having a little magnifying glass and begin seeing some of the details of breathing, the physical details of sensations in your body. The details of the felt sense of whatever you're paying attention to. It's said that investigation is a beautiful quality of the mind. a natural quality. So to be present and then allow whatever you're present for to reveal itself more clearly, more fully. You start seeing the details here and now, the felt sense, the experiential details. Not what you think about it. Not what you prefer, but the immediacy of the details. Whether it's your breathing, the body sensation, the sounds of the traffic, what's going on in your mind, there can be kind of a childlike wonder that allows you to take it in, see it clearly, sensing it, feeling it with more intimacy, the details. is a really beautiful quality. And it's a whole study, a whole long process of learning how to cultivate it, appreciate it, or even what it is. But one way to understand it is that it's something very simple. That's just bringing a presence or mindfulness to what is. And one way of going with that is to have this idea that in each moment of life, each living moment, there's always something which needs attention, needs attending to, needs our presence in the present moment. If you're drifting off in thoughts, you can't be that present. So what is it that needs our attending to, our presence? It could be the breath, it's very helpful. It could be our body, it could be our feelings, it could be our thinking mind. And learning to attend to what is, part of the art, the beauty of this mindfulness, is that it's not for or against what the experience is. We sometimes talk about having non-reactive awareness. And it's a beautiful thing to learn to have quality of non-reactive awareness. That awareness just kind of can learn to hold what's there. And if you're struggling with the mindfulness practice, then it's interesting to back off, back up, get a kind of bird's eye view and see, is there something that you've left out? Something else actually needs attention. What is it that needs attention here? Because when you find what really needs attention, chances are that you're not going to struggle. So if you're trying to be with the breath, but really you're feeling irritated, there's going to be a tension then between the breath and the irritation. So you have to kind of sometimes back off, back up, take a bird's eye perspective and just kind of take in, oh, what needs attention here is irritation. And do that in a very broad, accepting way, kind of non-reactive way, not for or against the irritation, but then being with that experience, being present for that, broadly, spaciously, openly. What's this like? And then as mindfulness becomes stronger and you're able to stay in the present moment, it becomes like a muscle that's become strong, that you become stabilized in the present moment, you're not always wandering off or lost in thoughts. That gives you the opportunity to use that as a foundation to look more carefully, to investigate. And this is a very important quality of the path to awakening, is that we are beginning to see more deeply, more clearly, what actually is, what our experience is. Sometimes there's wishful thinking that, oh, if I just be present and get concentrated, something will happen, I'll get enlightened. But actually, it also requires learning to see more deeply, to look at the details of our experience with clarity, whether it's the experience of looking very clearly at a flower, or Thich Nhat Hanh has you feel, you know, taste an orange really clearly, really sense that orangeness of the orange, or is listening to the details of a car that won't start, or that you're really getting a sense of the details of your breath. You know, so there's that mindfulness quality, and then when that's somewhat established, then there can be this investigation. And I like to think of investigation as being a kind of a natural thing. Many of us, it's atrophied, or, you know, it feels like work because we're not used to it. But if you see a young child, it's very natural to kind of be completely kind of involved sometimes in the most simple kind of things, which we now take for granted. So that's enough for now. And I'll talk more about, we'll do another little exploration of investigation in the next sitting. But as we take this 15 minutes now to either go to the bathroom or do some walking meditation, or just go walk around the block if you want quickly, and, or whatever you feel like you need to do before the next sitting, see if you can do this next 15 minutes with a sense of of presence. You're here and there's a kind of presence. Presence is not thinking. It's kind of a sense of presence that emanates from you, flows from you. Presence perhaps is not even personal. It's almost like you don't even do it. Maybe that's why people talk about the presence of God, because It's not like, you know, it's not, I'm not doing this. But there's a sense of presence of being here in your body and feeling, you know, you're here. So, and then keep it silent.